WHHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Health Secretary RFK Jr.'s CDC vaccine advisory panel no longer recommends a combined MMRV vaccine for children under four. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
Some people may choose to not get them the same day, and then they don't return. And so what you're probably going to see is a big drop in varicella, the chickenpox vaccination rates for that that first dose.
Reaction still coming in after ABC suspension of the Jimmy Kimmel Live show after Monday's comments on Charlie Kirk's murder. Former Tonight Show host Jay Leno.
You don't get canceled saying popular things. You get canceled, usually it's the truth that winds up getting canceled.
Memphis city leaders push back on President Trump's surge of National Guard and federal law enforcement there. City Councilwoman Jerry Green warns other cities.
I ask you to join us in this fight, yes, because as they test these waters in Memphis, no, we may be the first, but we will not be the last.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The Brewers over the Angels. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-2 win over the Angels. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff with his 10th win of the season has the freedom to decide when he's ready to play. Why? Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I trust him. I trust him emphatically. What this guy has been through on the mound and the way he operates, he knows what he's doing. It's underrated for this team this year, what he's done. What's our record since Woody started with us? That's something else. And I'll tell you, the pitching coaches have done a great job with him.
NFL, the Packers in Cleveland on Sunday. I asked Packers quarterback Jordan Love why the Browns' Myles Garrett is so highly regarded.
You know, he's one of those guys that can wreck a game for an offense, so definitely always got to know where he's at.
After Myles, what stands out on how the Browns' defense performed against the Bengals and the Ravens?
Man, I think they're just a really sound defense. You know, I think watching film, you know, they don't do a whole lot of crazy coverages. You know, they're pretty set in what they want to run. One of those defenses where it's like, hey, we're going to run this, and you guys got to come out and find ways to stop it.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I'm guessing free speech. Free speech is dead. The free speech people, they are going to be censoring dissent. Understand that everything that the right imagined Obama did is exactly what the Trump administration is going to be doing. This most recent campaign against media critics, nothing short of fascistic and dangerous. You now have the FCC chairman, this Brendan Carr, threatening Jimmy Kimmel, ABC, and Disney for, what was it, maliciously lying, and demanded an immediate suspension of Kimmel because he made remarks that were bad. And understand, the line between government and intimidation now have been completely wiped away. They've vanished. What Carr is doing is a direct threat to free speech. And with Carr boasting that the agency has a strong case and warning ABC and Disney, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, ABC caved and indefinitely suspended Jimmy Kimmel. But understand, all of the waves, he all but waves the power to crush ABC by taking away their broadcast license. demanding that we're going to see some changes. That means do what we say, say what we want, or we're going to crush you. This isn't government. This is mob tactic stuff. This is meant to chill and to kill dissent. And as we talked about the other day, Trump's leading the assault on media, because if you say something he doesn't like, he's gonna shout you down. He's gonna threaten you. Ultimately, sue like they did with the New York Times. Evidently, he was a little unhappy that they reported that Mark Burnett was the well-celebrated producer. Mark Burnett was the real architect behind Trump's success on The Apprentice, and that made Donnie angry. And now he complains that this is maliciously peddling narrative. You go, no, the guy found you. The guy engineered this program. But the New York Times didn't lie when they talked about your business legacy. And now he wants $15 billion because, well, he claims they've attacked his status as some kind of self-made icon. And understand, Trump's actions, using lawsuits to punish journalists who tell, well, inconvenient truths, and pulling regulatory triggers whenever media coverage wounds his bruised ego, these are classic authoritarian tools. The message to networks is, to newspapers, to creators, to anyone, the public, clear. You either toe the Trump line or face extinction. Not democracy. This isn't what democracy looks like. This is what unchecked fascistic power looks like. Now, I wrote a piece earlier in the year on my Substack page titled Fascism American Style. Welcome, because here we are. And with ABC pulling Jimmy Kimmel's show, suspending him indefinitely, this is corporate America, the corporate media waving the white flag. We are now fully accepting fascism. We are fully a fascist nation. You go, but what is fascist? Fascist is just the melding of corporate and government interests, the bundle of sticks. It's using corporations like government and government like corporations. It's what we're doing. And what did Jimmy Kimmel say that was so terrible, that was so out of bounds, that the FCC jumped in? Were there F-bombs? No. Kimmel simply said, we hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them, and doing everything they can to score political points from it. That's it. Now, look, I've said much worse. I think Kirk was a chaos merchant. I think the whole thing was staged gamesmanship. Was a billionaire fancy. I think this was all divide and conquer. That's much worse than saying, you know, the crazies are spinning this to make the guy look like a tranny. Oh, wait a second. They did that. And in fact, they've gone even further. And what's interesting is what I've gotten from people, horrible, horrible stuff. I've been threatened. I've been put on notice. I've been told I'm being watched, and, well, much, much worse. They're gunning for me. We're coming for you. We're going to get you canceled. These are the free speech people. Remember, these are the free speech people. These are the people who's blank your feelings. These are the people who you're just not tough enough to have a free conversation. These are those people. These are the people who are going, hey, if you say something we don't like, we're going after you. Now, remember, during the campaign, all they complained about was cancel culture. And yet, here they are, attempting to cancel anyone. So I guess where I'm going with this is, I had wanted to, as I said the other day, I had wanted to put this aside. It's a horrible tragedy. I feel for Kirk's family. I feel for him. I don't think anyone should be murdered for their political views. But this is now the battleground. Now is the legacy. The battleground is now What are they going to slap his name all over? Will there be Kirk airports and libraries and philanthropic organizations who claim to care about children, even though all of his rhetoric was not very working class friendly? Is this where we're going? Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, Alex Lawson from Social Security Works, going to talk about some of his memories and some of the conversations he had with Charlie Kirk. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, attention-seeking Pennsylvania State Representative Russ Ding Dong Diamond, he claims he's got a piece of legislation all set, ready to go, that that he's going to introduce, I guess, in the coming days. It's going to happen here in Pennsylvania's State House. He wants to establish an official state holiday to be observed on the first Monday of every August. He's going to label that Charlie Kirk Day. And the reality is, it didn't take him long, does it? Does it take these people long to get things moving in their direction? Because if nothing else, our government-hating Republican friends love to do is slapping their names all over stuff. And that of the people that they have canonized. And understand, it's going to get much worse. And here to share some thoughts on, who was Charlie Kirk? What should be the legacy of Charlie Kirk, the billionaire mouthpiece? That's why I've asked my good friend Alex Lawson to come share some thoughts. Alex is the executive director of Social Security Works. You can check out their website at socialsecurityworks.org. Alex, thanks for taking time for us.
Always my pleasure to join you on your show, Rick.
So are you surprised that you've got a Congress or state representative going, hey, we got to slap Charlie's name over things? I'll bet you there'll be a public school soon being named Charlie Kirk Public Elementary School.
You know, it never surprises me when politicians act like foolish, you know, publicity-seeking narcissists that they are. So it doesn't shock me. I think they are also under pretty direct command to talk about anything other than the massive cuts to healthcare and Medicaid that they just passed. You know, you have hospitals across Pennsylvania that are going to close, nursing homes across Pennsylvania that are going to close. Elected Republicans do not want to talk about that. So they are literally as ghoulishly as possible taking advantage of what they see as a moment to take people's eyes off of what's going on.
Well, that's that old saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. This for them is a good crisis because, you know, he was somebody that a fraction of the population knew and now going to be canonized where everyone knows and everyone's going to be force-fed a whole bunch of well-cherry-picked quotes, almost, you know, sent out like biblical passages. And this is where they're going to remake his legacy. And I watched a video of you and him debating, I think it was on Fox News or something, about Medicaid cuts and him being all in favor of it. And it made me go back and think, maybe we do have to. I had wanted to walk away from this, but maybe we do need to start talking about what his legacy is going to be and how he wanted to harm working people.
Yeah, like First off, you know, I condemn the violence, the murdering of a person. I just like I condemn
without question,
you know, the murdering of lots of people in Gaza and the genocide that's happening right now. And I condemn the 51,000 deaths due to the loss of healthcare that the Republican cuts to Medicaid and healthcare will, you know, to me, that's part is easy to be like, yes, this is all bad. So this is not about celebrating violence. It's condemning all of the violence equally or in proportion as well. And so I did. I debated Charlie Kirk, and I, you know, I have lots of opinions. He was funded by a billionaire to create a organization, a well-funded organization to push right-wing, billionaire-centric, anti-working class messaging on college campuses. And that's what he did. And he did that by debating, you know, college kids who really didn't know what they're talking about. When he debated me on Fox News, I mean, I invite anyone to Google it. You can watch it. I soundly won. He had no actual depth past the talking points. And so when challenged, you know, he didn't have anything there because that's what he did. He read talking points for a living.
Right.
Right. And his legacy, I believe, should be the same legacy as any late billionaire whose goal was to destroy the working class in this country so the billionaires could take everything. He was part of that operation, very specifically funded by a billionaire. Turning Points USA didn't like make money. This Charlie Kirk became a multimillionaire by working for the billionaires to steal money from poor and middle class Americans and put it into the pockets of the billionaires. So that's how I will always remember him. I think that's fair.
No, it's fair. I go back to the old the quote attributed to Jay Gould, the railroad magnet. I could easily pay half the working class to murder the other half. He's kind of the one that they paid to divide us. And it's, you know, it's sad. And look, I'm 100% with you. It's a tragedy. It's horrible. No one should be murdered for their opinions or their political stances. But also, we can't go back and rewrite the history and say this was a good guy for working people.
Yeah, he absolutely not. And I think, you know, the problem is that you have two things going on. The president, well, at least two. The president is deeply unpopular. The Republican agenda is deeply unpopular. And they do not want to release the Epstein list, right? There's one Republican vote that would force the discharge petition and release the Epstein list. And both of those are what the Republicans cannot allow the media to go back to. And then you have this horrible murder of a moderately high profile guy. He did not have the largest profile, right? He was not well known to many people. He was not known to many people. So they immediately, you could watch the corporate PR strategy here, right? Just out the gate before any facts are known, they're writing a narrative.
Right.
And then they're selling that narrative and they're selling it as hard as possible because they don't want to talk about either the true legacy of what Turning Points USA will continue to be, which is literally an organization that pushes billionaire propaganda onto college campuses, funded by a billionaire to do that. Like that's, they were like, hey, young people learn too much on college campuses. And once they learn the truth, then they actually, you know, become more liberal. They don't become more liberal. They get more educated, Rick, and you know what happens.
Yeah, but in this case, you know, the narrative that I'm getting from people is that, well, it's that higher education that's the problem. Exactly what you're talking about. We don't want our kids to have that kind of education because this kid came from a good, God-fearing, Christian, gun-nut, religious background, very conservative background. One semester. It only took one semester, Alex, for him to go off to college. Now he's hooked up with a trans person, you know, doing horrible things, writing bad things on bullets. It's all higher education's fault. It's not even the trans person's fault at this point, because the trans person's actually going, I had nothing to do with it, and I'll help you where I can. Got to find the boogeyman, though.
And, you know, the boogeyman is the man who took a rifle and sat on a roof and made himself famous. And I am not trying to make light or minimize anything. I just want to point out that, you know, this is one murderer amongst many murders in this country. Same day there was a school shooting, right? There, this country is awash in guns and violence and a culture of guns and violence. I won't ascribe any motive to the shooter until, you know, it's really, really clear, because there is now this other thing, this American motive, which is violence for fame, right? It's violence to be known. It might come out that, you know, he was motivated by love. It was motivated by ideology. It's unclear to me. But I will just say the problem in this country is that we have too much violence, too many guns that are super easy to get to. Education is not a problem. Education is the solution to the problems that we face. The issue is, if you're a billionaire who wants to make their money pouring poison into our waterways and exploiting workers, and then somebody you know, hustles and scrambles and scrounges together, and they learn the true history of this country, that working people built this country, and they learn the true way that business works, which is that labor provides all of the value. Everything comes from labor. You know, they read Adam Smith and they're like, I thought this was the guy who, you know, hated working class people. And they're like, it was a really boring book about making pins. And his conclusion is that labor creates all value, right? And when people realize that they've been lied to their entire lives by billionaires who are not interested in educating anyone, they're interested in separating people from their money and their power, so that they can have both. And that's why the legacy, I think, of Turning Points USA, I think it's important to tell the true story, which is they're part of that. That's what they are.
Yeah. And you look, as you talk about Adam Smith and the conclusion that actually was, as opposed to the one that the people are being sold, you can make the same argument about the Bible. You know, the conclusion that Jesus made was love thy neighbor as thyself. Take care of the sick and the hungry and the poor and the imprisoned and all of that. And yet the ideology that people like in the world that Kirk ran in, the antithesis of all of that. So let me ask you this, because, you know, I had made the argument that, look, you know, it's sad that Charlie Kirk has been murdered. I in no way, shape or form condone that. I feel for his children. I feel for his family. I would want that for no one. But someone's going to take his place, because there's a lot of money in this, and there are a lot of little Charlie Kirks out there. There are a lot of ankle biters out there who were trying to take his place while he was alive, because there is so much money. And can this be one of the messages that comes out of this? That, look, the billionaires are spending an enormous amount of money on think tanks and front groups and all of these people out there promoting their poison. Can we talk about that?
I hope so. And I hope we can talk about why, you know, why are the billionaires spending all of this money? And you're like, because it's a really little bit of all of the money that they get from selling people the lie, right? Like, they're not stupid. I mean, some of them are, but they're not stupid as a class. If they make $1 billion by spending $10 million to push propaganda, that's an enormous profit, right? Like, people have magnitude issues. So they don't really understand, you know, like, that these billionaires aren't spending these hundreds of millions of dollars on propaganda networks. for nothing. Yep. It's to make money.
Absolutely.
They make money off of it. So they take a teeny piece of their profits and they create a propaganda network that sells a false vision, false information. Like you're saying, you know, higher education is the problem, or, you know, guns aren't the problem. God forbid that somebody in college learns that other countries exist, or that, you know, the U.S. healthcare system is just can't figure it out because it's too hard of a problem. If at the moment people realize that there are other countries that are our peer nations that have de minimis, they have barely any gun violence at all because they don't have guns readily available, that people get healthcare when they get sick because they don't have billionaires profiting off of healthcare. And by the way, it's billionaires profiting off of guns. It's not about liberty. It's about billionaire gun manufacturers profiting off of the American system, exporting small arms around the world as well. So once people learn what it's all about, they realize it's a very simple story. The billionaires are robbing us of our money, of our health, of our well-being, of our peace, of our joy, all so that they can try to fill this emptiness that they have where their soul should be, by going and buying another golden helicopter or whatever it is that they do. And I do believe that there is great forgiveness to be had in this world, in this existence. But somebody does need to have a reckoning. They actually have to understand, you know, if I'm on that side of the billionaires, I am profiting off of the harm, death, and destruction of millions of people. And that, you know, you said, you brought up the number one and two most misunderstood books in the English language are the Bible, you know, available in the English language, and Adam Smith. So it's very clear to me that the message of caring for the least of us, that caring for the sick, feeding the hungry, these are the values that made the Romans crucify Jesus. If he had said, you know, get rich or die trying, the Romans would have been like, hell yeah, that's what we do. That's our thing. There would have been no problem. But it's because he came with a message that said, help the least among us. And so I do believe that it is important to have an honest debate about what's going on. And I truly do hope that people who are on the side of the billionaires ask for the forgiveness that they will be granted. They just have to ask for it.
You know, all of this, that is my hope, that we will wake up to the reality that our billionaire class spends an awful lot of money on funding really smart people to dream up really bad ideas and even worse messaging. And I think Kirk was a part of that machine. Didn't want him to die or anyone else, but I'd like to see the machine go away. So last line of questioning I've got for you in this moment, while we're seeing a lot of social media being pumped our way, because there are a lot of front groups out there making money off of this, what should people be paying attention to? How would you, you know, if you're guiding me into, you know, what I should be looking for, what am I looking for?
First of all, they're going to use this, they being the Trump administration, to silence people. They're going to try to scare people into being quiet. The most dangerous thing that people can do right now is to be quiet. Now is when solidarity is more important than ever. Now is the time that we need to stand up and say, no, we're not going to be scared by these threats from the White House, you know, pretending that that there's some sort of ideological and that it's from the left, this violence, right? Political violence is by and large, the vast majority, from the right. That is just a fact. So don't be quiet. Don't be afraid. Understand that solidarity is more important right now than ever. And remember what they're trying to take our eyes off of. These two huge stories. Why are they not releasing the Epstein list? Why are they doing everything they can to prevent the release of the Epstein list? There's only one Republican, one more Republican in the House votes for the discharge petition, and we get to learn what they are so terrified about becoming public, and the deeply unpopular cuts to our healthcare and Medicaid that will result in tens of thousands of people dying every year. And we should abhor those deaths just like we abhor the death of Charlie Kirk at the hands of what I believe to be a completely misguided, deranged assassin. One man who bears that responsibility is what it looks like to me right now.
There you go. Alex, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Alex Lawson, executive director there of Social Security Works. Want to hear your thoughts. You agree with him? Should we be finding out where the money, follow the money? Where did it come from? And then maybe look at who the replacements are going to be, because it is really all about keeping us divided. Want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the upper 50s, and a high tomorrow in the mid-70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So look, I go back to what I talked about a minute ago. You got a Pennsylvania State Representative in Russ Ding Dong Diamond, who is, look, attention seeker extraordinaire. I give the guy credit. He knows how to get attention. That's how he's in the State House and how he stayed there so long. So this, being as opportunistic as he is, this is right up his alley, going for a Charlie Kirk Day. And the weird thing is we're going to see a lot of this across the country. We're seeing schools having moments of silence. We're seeing pressure on the NFL to do more stuff. It's a lot. It seems like a lot. And the weird thing is most people, until this happened, till this tragedy happened, didn't know who he was. In fact, and most people didn't agree with him. That's the other thing that gets me. Generation Lab just put out a poll that found that while he had really good name recognition on college campuses, about 70% of the student body disagreed with him. Only about 30% agreed. So there's going to be a lot of rewriting of history, and a lot of displays. We saw the president do the whole flag at half mast thing, which is why I've asked my next guest to come share some thoughts on his organization, the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. They put out a statement expressing, well, disgust at the fact that the president directed states and everyone bearing a flag to lower it to half mast. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the statement and what this all means, I've asked Napoleon Nelson to come share some thoughts. He's a representative in the Montgomery County, Pennsylvania area, chair of the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. Napoleon, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. I hate that we're doing it on this topic, but a pleasure to join you nonetheless.
So, pretty harsh statement. The statement was, we must express our disgust regarding the decision by the president to direct American flags to be lowered. You went on to say the lowering of our flag, national flag, a sacred symbol of unity, mourning, and honored, should be reserved for those whose lives and legacies universally embody the values of justice, equity, and service to all people. Disgust seems like a harsh word.
Yeah, we actually think we pulled punches here. It might feel like a harsh word, but we had an awful lot of folks who were both incensed, enraged, and communities that have really been hurt by this. I will preface all of this by saying the Legislative Black Caucus is a, at this point, you know, many decades old caucus of legislators in Harrisburg, state reps and state senators who represent Black and Brown communities. And at this point, there are now 38 of us that we consider part of that caucus. And we had great conversation. We had really important and valuable feedback from folks, and hadn't said anything about lowering the flag. In fact, when Charlie Kirk was first assassinated, the first thoughts that we all had to wrestle with were ensuring our own safety and security, making sure that this wasn't a moment that continued to reverberate to us. But outside of that, once that moment, and it, I wouldn't say passed, but as we were wrestling with that, understanding all that Charlie Kirk and Turning Point and kind of his message has been to our communities, how insensitive he has been and unapologetically so, how just kind of brash he has been with his statements around just, you know, who doesn't belong in this nation, his belief of, just the disparate impact that perhaps he would argue is due to Black and Brown communities and how.
Because here's the thing, Napoleon, the reality is a lot of the messaging that I saw coming from him was directed at Black men. That they're coming after you. They're hunting people. It was a fairly violent message. So I'm not surprised that your first thought was, "Am I in danger because of this? Because of retribution?" Because we heard a lot of that rhetoric right after that. This is civil war. We're going. I know a lot in the trans community. We're ducking for cover because of the fear that, you know, these folks who have been extremely violent over the years might be gunning for you. So I guess I'm not surprised by that.
No, and I'm not surprised that, unfortunately, that was the biggest challenge that we had to call out, was we're not surprised that the president chose to lower the flag for this man and to honor his platform, because this has kind of been in keeping with what, you know, this horrific, orange man, you know, Trump 2.0 has wanted to do. This is in keeping with where they are. I mean, it was just a couple days earlier that he formally declared the Department of Defense is now the Department of War, and we know where he's sending his Department of War, troops. He's sending troops into our community, right? So this is for so many in minority spaces, for so many in Pennsylvania, for so many that I and the Legislative Black Caucus members represent, has been just another step in escalation of really what has been violence to that, to our communities. And the lowering of the flag to me says that this is a moment that administration will take, will honor, and will probably use to motivate them going forward. And we've seen it. Yeah. We saw it. We heard it from the president immediately following the shooting. We heard it from many in that administration. Many in Washington said that this is it. This is war. We need to stomp these folks out. And then the very next thing we saw were threats and bomb threats shutting down many of our historically Black colleges and universities across this country. Pennsylvania's got two of them right here. The first, realistically, first two HBCUs and first opened and first degree granting institutions are right here in Pennsylvania. And this is what is coming on the other side of the shooting of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing.
Lower flags was offensive.
But this is who they are. And, you know, as I said, you know, at the beginning, you've got Russ Diamond, who, you know, is an attention seeker. And look, all politicians to a degree are. I just think he's in a class on his own. But saw this as an opportunity to be in the club. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this, because I think conservatives, Republicans, I think they do a great job of marketing and slapping their names all over things. I don't think Democrats do such a great job of that. But this is another, for me, one of those opportunities for them to go, look, there's a crisis, and you never let a good crisis go to waste.
Correct. And you know what, though? I'm going to be the same way. I'm going to not let this crisis go to waste. Because what this crisis is, the rest of our statement really called on us all to make sure we act. We need to not just call for a calming down of political violence. Political violence needs to stop. But we also need to understand that political violence, as I mentioned in the statement, doesn't just come from kind of the setting off of gunpowder. Political violence is what Black and brown communities have been going through from day three of this administration, realistically day one. Listen, you're a wonderful, long storied labor leader. Just recently, the Supreme Court finally put the nail in the coffin in this administration's assault on labor rights and on the National Labor Relations Board. He did the same thing to the EEOC. He has been attacking communities who have said for long times that we have been under assault. They have declared war. And they have declared war in part by lowering the flag and saying, you know, we're now coming full bore. And that's not okay.
Now, to your point, your statement is very clear. You're right. We must grieve the tragic loss of life and simultaneously remain clear about the values we uphold as a nation. We must continue to engage in political discourse in all corners of the Commonwealth while also standing firm in defense of those communities that are under siege. You write, right. Political violence can be carried out by oppressive institutional action just as much as the ignition of gunpowder. And I think you're spot on, which is why my instinct was to, okay, we're going to put this aside. We got to get back to the business of making lives better for working people. But I fear this is going to be that issue, that tool that they're going to run in the midterms on to blind us away from the reality that their governance, they control the House, the Senate, the White House, many state houses, many governor's mansions across this country, and lives are not getting better. Policies are getting worse. Institutions are being destroyed. Democracy's under assault. There's a lot of bad here, and I wanted to get back to that, but I think this is going to be the blinder that allows them to continue to operate under the cover of this tragedy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you left out the court system. The Supreme Court is under just kind of the thumb of this administration as well. Again, listen, I'm not happy about anyone losing their life due to gun violence or anything else. I think there are many who knew Charlie and his family personally. You know, they're young kids now without a father. I feel so bad for those families. And we know what that looks like in the Philadelphia region.
Look, Napoleon, I'm in a position where, you know, someone could take me out tomorrow if they wanted to. I could literally be Charlie Kirk. In fact, the emails that I'm getting from people, fairly ugly stuff in this moment, because I've had the audacity to go, yeah, I'm not going to put him up on that pedestal, because here's the other part that's frightening to me. And maybe you'll come along. There's going to be someone to replace him. There are people right now trying to vie to get into the billionaires' pockets that funded him. There are people right now, you know, working to use this to their advantage to be the next chaos merchant who's able to make a buck off of this. And that, to me, is the bigger problem. This, because we're never going to talk about the billionaire money that made all of this possible.
Yeah, no, it is Charlie Kirk. It's bigger than Charlie Kirk. And I think that's what you're getting at. You're right. It is bigger than the man, as much of you know, as a visionary as Russ Diamond would think and argue that he is. This is not just about one individual. This is not just about this moment. This is not just about this week. In fact, you know, horrifically, Charlie Kirk seemed to outweigh another school shooting, not just the school shooting at the University of the Utah Valley University, but there was another school shooting just that day. This is the day before 9/11, and it seemed to overshadow just kind of our remembrance of 9/11. We've got to make sure that we are putting all of this in context, right? Exactly. And I think that was the other piece that we heard so much was When we put this in context, we've had, there were Speaker of the House in Minnesota. She and her husband murdered, assassinated. This is a sitting elected official in the state house in Minnesota, and there was nothing. There was not a call to the governor. Yet someone who was not elected, who was a 31-year-old, who was working to organize folks with a rhetoric that was so divisive and a rhetoric that was so harmful to so many and so offensive to so many.
And meant to be. And
that's look, who we're going to lower the flag for?
Yeah, no, a chaos merchant.
It just felt like a
chaos merchant. I mean, the reality is he made his name, he made his money, he made his fortune off causing chaos, not about making lives better. And in fact, many of the messages in the water, as we just talked about in the last segment, were about destroying institutions that help especially vulnerable communities. I look at the Medicaid cuts that just happened in this big nightmare bill that Trump signed recently. He was advocating for doing away with Medicaid and a lot of those things that help people. So, you know, I know there's going to be a rewriting of history. I know that we're going to have to put him up on a pedestal, but let's at least be honest what he stood for.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that rewriting of history is going to go as smoothly as some would think. There are plenty of us around who are going to continue to understand, tell the history of this moment. And it's not just a moment. Again, it's not just a Charlie Kirk story.
Right.
That was so important for us as a caucus to make sure that we highlighted for everyone that this is not just about Charlie Kirk. This is about kind of the administration and the moment and the movement that he and so many others have gotten going here in the Commonwealth and across this nation. That is just harmful, dangerous, literally violent to so many who are just trying to help folks be able to send their kids to school and make sure that school is safe, trying to make sure that folks can get sick and then get well again. We're doing everything we can to make sure that we're being considerate of the least of these, right? It's odd that, we can't bring up those kind of biblical notions. That is the underpinning of the work that the folks, for example, in the Legislative Black Caucus are doing. But yet our version of good Christian work or good faith-based work or good work on behalf of those who need us most seems to be overshadowed by someone who doesn't even think that we should be here, who thinks that we're a whole bunch of just DEI elected officials doing, you know, our little black jobs. And then we're going to lower the flag and honor him.
Yeah, but he didn't mean that, Napoleon.
American hero.
He didn't mean that. I'm told, didn't mean it. I'm told, you know, didn't mean it.
So, good. Oh, good. Well, then I take back that statement.
Well, there it is.
I do not.
So let me ask you the last line of questioning I've got, because, you know, the reality is I wish our billionaires and I wish the Charlie Kirks of the world and the Fuentes and all the rest of them who are vying for attention, I wish they would put their energies, because they're talented, very talented people. I wish they would take their talents and their energies and put it in a direction to make lives better and to make conditions better and make this country truly, truly great. But I'm not seeing that. What I see, again, is it's mouthpieces for billionaires. So as a legislator, you know, when you see something like Diamond coming forth with his legislation, is there an instinct to go, you know what, maybe we should have a day of remembrance for every child that's been killed going to school, or for every veteran that's, you know, died homeless on the street? Or, I mean, if we're really going to care about life, and I do, shouldn't we be talking about all of the lives that are lost and maybe talking about how, instead of just symbolic gestures, we actually do something to make lives better, to save lives? Maybe shouldn't we do something like that?
Yeah. And maybe this is what we're not as good at. Maybe we should be putting out those resolutions like Russ Diamond. Instead, what we're trying to do is raise the minimum wage. And what we're trying to do is ensure that we have adequately funded schools, constitutionally adequately funded schools, and making sure that people can get to work, trying to keep our hospitals open even after, federal cuts, trying to make sure that folks who are hungry have food even after federal cuts. I mean, it's hard to do when apparently what we are supposed to be doing with our messaging is honoring those who are perhaps the most divisive among us. But what we're still dedicated to, perhaps as us, you know, silly liberals, is just trying to help everyone in Pennsylvania make sure that they have what they need to pursue life, liberty, and justice in this nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Napoleon, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for the stand your caucus has made, and I look forward to having you back again real soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Napoleon Nelson, Pennsylvania State Representative. Want to hear your thoughts. Do you agree? Maybe this is going a bit too far? The opportunists are seeing their chance to get their name in the paper, like Russ Diamond. I want to hear your thoughts. Rick at the RickSmithShow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1895. That was the day that Booker T. Washington delivered what came to be known as the Atlanta Compromise Speech, which outlined his vision for race relations and black labor in the South. Washington was the founder of the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute, a college designed to train black students for careers in teaching, farming, and other trades. Washington was invited to give an address to the Cotton States and International Exposition in Atlanta. It was the first time that a black man was asked to speak before a black and white Southern audience. In his speech, he urged Southern landowners and business leaders to employ black labor over European immigrants. He said, quote, "To those of the white race who look to the incoming of those of foreign birth and strange tongue and habits for the prosperity of the South, were I permitted, I would repeat what I say to my own race. Cast down your bucket where you are." He continued, "Cast it down among those people who have, without strikes and labor wars, tilled your fields, cleared your forests, built your railroads and cities, and brought forth treasures from the bowels of the earth and helped make possible this magnificent representation of the progress of the South." His speech outlined a plan for gradual black economic advancement. He declared, quote, "Agitation of questions of social equality is the extremist folly." Other black leaders, most notably W.E. Du Bois, rejected Booker T. Washington's idea of gradual advancement. Instead, Du Bois fought racial discrimination through the legal system and helped to found the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I'm a little sickened by the fact that you've got a Pennsylvania state legislator who's saying, we're gonna have Charlie Kirk Day, but yesterday here in the state that I live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, five police officers were shot, three of them fatally killed in York County, Pennsylvania, not too far south of where that legislator's district is. These officers were doing their job, serving a warrant. From what we know at this point, a domestic kind of situation, which are always the most deadly. Police have not released their names or the person responsible. That person's dead. Horribly tragic all around. But I don't see anybody rushing to take those officers and put them on a pedestal. I don't see anything to make a day for them or any of the other people who are killed in this country because we refuse to do anything about guns. And it's been my whole lifetime. This isn't new. You know, I was just talking with my son the other day, and we were talking about the Boomtown Rat song, "I Hate Mondays." It's about a girl who shot up an elementary school in California. And when asked, "Why'd you do it?" "I don't like Mondays." Not new, just more frequent. And it's the easy accessibility of guns and the kind of guns available. But again, understand, and I've said this before, the left is never going to take anyone's guns away. They're not that organized. They're not that aggressive. They're not that on the same page. Maybe there's one or two that want to, but for the most part, probably not going to happen. Where the gun grabbers are going to come from, going to come from our fascist leaders. Because understand, the Trumps of the world, they're not comfortable with everyone having a gun. Because look, right now, this distraction from the Epstein files, because they were going to release everything. We were going to know. And you got the FBI director going, nothing to see. There's nothing here. Nothing. It was just the dead guy. Well, his base not believing it. The Rogan crowd not believing it. The Kirk crowd not believing it. Do you think, this is where my mind goes, do you think that Trump is going to be all that happy with people having guns? The answer is no. And again, the free speech people, the people who tell us how much they're the champions, the advocates, the guardians of free speech, they're the ones who are right now full tilt boogie censoring what should be a free speech moment. You may not like what people say about Charlie Kirk. You may not like what uncomfortable comments come out, but in a free society with free speech rights, you've got that right. As long as you're not defaming it. Now, this was someone who put himself in the political spotlight. Political issues are debating, are debatable, are, you fight over them. You argue over them. Are we really going to censor political speech? And even my red hat friends, are you comfortable with that? Because I know you've deluded yourself into believing that Obama did all of these things. It wasn't true. But you are going to see what an activist government is going to do. When corporations start bending the knee, and I had this interesting conversation with a friend who said, well, why don't these corporations just band together and fight back? Well, because the reality is government doesn't run out of time or money. The only institution that can restrain corporate greed, corporate power, is government. Of, for, and by, we the people, all kind of on the same page. Because you talk to people, red hat, blue hat, green hat, no hat, they're all somewhere in the same world of wanting to pull back on corporate power. And some may see Trump going after ABC as an assault on corporate power. No, no. This is just getting them in line. Know your place, ABC. Don't say bad things. Don't report anything we do. I have to tell you, and this is just one of those weird moments. As a show that's on a number of media outlets, how many of them start pulling back simply out of fear? The chilling effect that this will send across media is going to be enormous. But it's only going to be one-sided. This isn't bringing back the fairness doctrine. This isn't that. This is punishing one side. And then holding the favored side in check so they don't ever grow a conscience or a brain. This is where we're going. The propaganda stations, they're going to be fine. The propaganda networks, they're going to be golden. They're going to make more money than they could have ever imagined as long as they stay on script. As long as they stay in the good graces of dear leader. And the weird thing is, and I think it was Cory Booker when he was talking to Patel, said, look, your guy doesn't have the greatest track record for loyalty. Your guy throws people under the bus. Question is, who's next? So I want to hear your thoughts. Are you concerned? Are you seeing this attack on ABC, on the New York Times, on reporters? Are you seeing this as the authoritarian move that it is? Or is this, it's just Trump being Trump. He cares about us. I want to hear your thoughts. Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. Or if you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@therickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Lawmakers and celebrities are sounding off after ABC pulls the Jimmy Kimmel live show off the air over Kimmel's Monday night comments about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr tells Fox News Channel,
"Look, we're going to continue to hold these broadcasters accountable to the public interest. And if broadcasters don't like that, simple solution, they can turn their license into the FCC. There's other things that we can do with it."
CBS News legal contributor Rebecca Royfe on whether Kimmel's comments could be protected by the First Amendment.
There has to be a clear misstatement made with malice in order for there to be any kind of action on the FCC based on an untruth given through the airwaves, because there is such subjectivity about what counts as what is true or untrue in these circumstances.
Former late-night talk show host David Letterman at the Atlantic Film Festival.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful.